This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What is up, everyone? Joey Powell here for InsideCarolina.com. An emergency edition of the Coast to Coast podcast, because we got stuff to talk about. We got news to break. And this one may not have been on your radar, because I don't think a couple of weeks ago that folks saw this coming. But we did a podcast recently to tell you that Seth Trimble had entered his name in the portal and would be looking around to transfer out of North Carolina with 2 years left to play. Well, just forget that we ever did that, because Seth Trimble has announced that he is going to be staying in Chapel Hill because it seems like, you know, I guess you can go home again, right? And the old Wolf book from Southern literature. I can't remember what the number of that class was, but with me to talk about it here on the Coast to Coast Emergency Edition, Sean Moran, Sherrell McMillan. Sherrell, I want to ask you, how did we get to this place to where, you know, Seth Trimble felt like he was torn and trying to find some playing time elsewhere, but maybe it just seems like he realized that things are just really, really good here, and maybe he wants to not leave and not give up being a part of the Carolina tradition as the Tar Heels try to make a run another national championship next season.
I think what you said is a big part of it, Joey. You know, if you think about it, him and Jalen Washington will be among the senior, you know, the leaders on the team next season. They'll be their third season. And there's a lot of, you know, people call it sweat equity, but whatever you want to call it, there's a lot of work that has gone into his first 2 years at UNC. I think everyone saw the growth between year one and year two. And I think as, you know, he put his name into the portal, got away from, you know, Chapel Hill for a little bit and started to clear his mind, you start to think about, man, that's a lot to give up. The work that you put in, the status that comes with being a Carolina basketball player, understanding that you had a pretty key role on the team previously, and there's no reason to believe that that role would diminish moving forward. It might not increase, but it's unlikely to diminish. So when you start adding all those pieces together, I think there was already some initial hesitation even when he did it. But after that, you start thinking about your decision and you start processing it and you start talking to people. If you read the story we posted, you know, unsolicited, he got some feedback from different people who will say walked in his shoes before. And I think they just wanted to be an open ear to say, okay, what are you thinking? Why are you deciding to do this? How can I help? What are the questions you have? And then if you need us, you know, need me or us to help you get to another place, then we'll help you. So I think he had all those conversations. And then, Joey, we talked about it last week. This new group of, These new group of kids, like, they just got thrown into the transfer portal and, you know, during COVID and NIL and all that without much training. It was just like, okay, portal's open, NIL's open. Just go live your life, go do what you do. And then, this year, you know, multiple time transfers, that's not a restriction either. So there hasn't been a lot of guidance, like, for some of these players who are transferring about what it looks like, about why coaches do the things they do. And so I think just over the last 9-10 days, Tribble and his family have started, you know, had conversations about that. And eventually they came to the decision that he wanted to return to UNC. And I think it is a credit to Hubert Davis and the staff, because I do think they still wanted Tremble in Chapel Hill. I think there are players who have left in his first 3 years as head coach that he didn't want back in Chapel Hill. And so this is one where when they started having conversations, and we've been told that there were conversations going back, you know, a few days, he was like, cool, you know, let's talk about it. And I think we always say when goals align and expectations align, that's when you're kind of in the sweet spot. And before, I think the goals and aspirations didn't align, and I think they do now.
It's remarkable what can happen when, you know, you get away from things for a little bit. You get a chance to, like you said, he got away from Chapel Hill, and you can really kind of quiet the other. A lot of times your coaches call it noise. And when they say noise, they're talking about Hubert Davis's favorite line of sideshow distractions. But there really is a lot of things that can distract the human psyche and distract you from focusing on things that are important. And it sounds like some of that probably just happened for Seth too. As he got away, he was able to kind of get back to thinking about Chapel Hill and his role at UNC in a much more simplistic terms. I'm not trying to go full on Freud with everybody, but I think that there's some of that at play here when you can remove some of the stuff that is distracting you and some of the things that are in your ear or in front of your face or over your head, that it does make, you know, decisions a little bit clearer. And then maybe you can realize that, oh yeah, I could probably pull this off and I can probably accomplish my goals in Chapel Hill on the path that I was on. Sean, I'm going to ask you something that's a little bit of a weird question. Is it possible that, you know, Seth Tremble, I think, played roughly 18 minutes a game last year. Is it possible that using him in the fashion that Hubert Davis used him, and maybe deploying him, probably he'll see a little bit of minute growth. I mean, we would imagine he's earned that, and we'll see that. Is it possible that it could actually help his mystique or his profile as a player by getting a certain amount of minutes? And I know that sounds weird, and I'm probably not asking it well, but do you think there's a little bit that it might, you know, it might actually make Seth look better in 24 minutes versus if Seth was playing 32 minutes? Does that make sense at all? What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I think that last part makes a lot of sense. I mean, I think, you know, just looking at actually Luke Wynn used to do this article many, many years ago when he was a writer for SI, and he would look at freshmen that were averaging less than 10 points a game, but had a strong efficiency rating as well as a usage rating.
And you could usage kind of rating. Thank you. I knew you'd be able to answer. That was my mistake. Usage rating as well as trying to get to. Thank you.
And you could kind of project those guys to have a pretty strong sophomore season, but at the same time, not everybody, you know, sometimes that usage rating will go up and their efficiency is going down because they can't handle that. And I do think when I heard the news, I was pretty excited about Tremble returning, more so, you know, we saw him make that freshman to sophomore year jump, obviously just from you look at, you know, 5 or 6 points per game. You're not going to get too excited about that, but I think all Carolina fans saw the improvement that he made from the freshman sophomore year. And I think that sophomore to junior year, yeah, you're probably not going to go to 30 minutes, right? But if you're continuing to 18 to 24, 25, and you're able to keep that overall efficiency, but sure, the 3-point percentage was great as a whole part, but, you know, now if you're maybe more of a threat, as well as taking what you did do well sophomore year and just improving on that without going into an All-American perspective, but I think that's the perfect type of player that Carolina and just teams in general need, one from a consistency standpoint, and two that can continue to make just, hey, I'm going to take two steps at a time versus trying to go from 1 to 10 and usually falling down and not being able to get back up. So I think that might've answered your question, but I do think Seth's the perfect candidate where you can see an increase without being too unrealistic of what that increase is and continuing to see him make another step in his progression.
The trend line is certainly pointing in the right direction. And like you said, the things that he was able to gain from his freshman to sophomore season were so tangible and so easily spotted just by watching, you know, short segments of his game. Cheryl, I want to ask you this. is the way that he plays, and he plays so aggressive defensively, and he plays with such high energy. Is it almost more of a weapon to kind of be able to put him out there in strategic spots? You know, we've shown Hubert Davis likes, when he has his druthers and everything's working well, he likes to kind of deploy guys almost the same way NBA coaches do, scenario based. Could you see that being the same thing for Seth here as he heads into his third season?
Yeah, for sure. And I think between what you're saying, what he's already been deployed to do, and the growth that, you know, everyone's expecting, that I think he's expecting, that I think the coaching staff is expecting, you can see him play a bigger role for UNC next year. The beauty of it is, though, and we don't know, excuse me, what the final roster is going to look like, but when you have multiple guards who can do a bunch of different things, like, everybody helps each other. So if one person is struggling with their shot on a specific night, then you can go to somebody else. If another person, you know, the defensive assignment is just too much for them, you can go to somebody else. So in a way, you kind of are able to shield some of your flaws by having a talented, deep team. And I think a lot of guys in Seth's situation decide that they would rather go and be the starter and the guy on another team than be in the role that he was in. And I think there's a lot of value in the role that he's in, because frankly, not many people want to do it anymore. So he automatically has made himself more valuable by being willing to, I want to say, accept the role, because he could come in and, you know, he could start next year. Who knows what might happen? But by at least being willing to compete for a starting position and be okay with a similar role he had last year, with maybe an increase in minutes, that's made him even more valuable than he was before he even entered the portal, in my opinion. Because those guys, just there's not many of them anymore. So I think, to your point, Joey, yes, he can deploy him in those situations. But I think Seth also has the ability to show himself strong in other areas, so that he can be deployed in those situations too. He'll definitely, I think, have that opportunity.
And I by no means think that he is a situational player. That's not what I was getting at. But I think you got me, Sherelle, when you said, you know, he has the ability to be able to fill in the gaps if some other guys aren't doing well. And again, it's not necessarily that the fact that he's not one of the starting five means he's not incredibly valuable to this roster. I think that's something folks forget.
Well, here's a stat. Like, in Hubert Davis's first three seasons, there's been one player, one non-starter, who's played 40% of the available minutes. Now, I'll let you guess who that is.
I'm going to guess it was Trimble.
It was Trimble last year. So yeah, one player in Hubert's first 3 years. And everyone has been well discussed, well chronicled the bench usage over the first three seasons. So that tells you, one, how much they value him, and two, how much they do like to deploy him in certain situations. And I think that trust by him coming back and getting better for another year is only going to grow. So you would expect that 40, maybe not the 40% number to increase, but you would expect just more of Trimble, whether it's based on overall percentage of minutes or minutes per game or usage or whatever. I think you can expect more of him.
He just makes the lineup so much more capable defensively when he's in there. Just having a guy that is that active, as athletic as he is, with the size that he has, is just such a game changer, pardon the pun, for North Carolina defensively and what they may try to do in different situations. Sean, I'm going to ask you here, what happens if Seth Trimble continues on his trajectory of offensive development? I mean, if he gets to a place to where, you know, Hubert Davis may put him in for energy and defense, then all of a sudden he does things like we saw him do at some points in the year, where he hits a couple of threes a game, or he can get you 8 points by, you know, dissecting the middle of a defense. What do you think that does for him and for North Carolina?
I think that's really the next phase in that sophomore to junior year development. I mean, I think you can go back a few years when we had him on this podcast, and as well as his recruiting class, and I remember the question, hey, you know, 3 seconds left on the clock, it's your go-to move, what are you going to do? And we had highlighted this in film, but it was him getting to that pull-up jump shot from 15 feet. And I don't think we really have gotten to see that a lot. Now, obviously, that shot in terms of basketball efficiency is looked down upon in terms of the mid-range, and he struggled, I think, shooting around 28% off the dribble from two. But we know he is comfortable from that, as well as early in the season. You know, now he was getting to the rim, but he was almost hanging in the air too long, not knowing what to do. That worked itself out. But I do think that is the next natural step. Once again, we're not expecting 15 plus points a game, but I think there are easy improvements that can be made where he's not a situational guy. He is, you know, if God forbid somebody gets hurt, he's one that can easily take over offensively and
absolutely
and fill in and kind of step up pretty easily. And then obviously, you know, defensively best on ball defender last year. And we saw what he did in the Michigan State game with the blocks at huge moments. So I think once again, realistic expectations, I think there's easy ways for him to continue that growth from the offensive perspective, just using his athleticism and athletic abilities, which most people don't have, to create easy shots or better looks. And then I think also, what is a smart shot versus where does he not need to force it? You know, I have the Alabama second half when he drove baseline, came back out and took kind of a contested, you know, 15 footer. So once again, I think just using his athleticism at the rim, looking at shots he's comfortable doing, I think is a very easy and natural progression for him from on the offensive end for this season.
I would also bet that Sherrill McMillan is really excited about the prospects of there being more iron sharpens iron in Chapel Hill next fall, because I know that's one of his favorite sayings. It's a cliche that he loves to use and use regularly. That's full on sarcasm for those of you who aren't picking up what I'm putting down. Sherrill, also, we talked about this. I don't think it's ever bad when you have a family and a player like Seth Trimble, who is as fun to cover as he is. I mean, it's been fun to watch his development. I don't know his family, but it has been really fun to watch how much he seemingly enjoyed being a part of North Carolina. So selfishly, I'm excited to be able to see him stay with North Carolina and see what next season can bring for him. Want to put a bow on this one again, emergency edition of the Coast to Coast podcast as Seth Trimble has returned. All right. I'm getting the talent here, raising hands to say things. Sherrill, you go first.
No, the last thing I was going to say is that for Hubert Davis, I want the fan base to look at this as signing someone from the portal. And if UNC had signed kind of a athletic experienced defensive stopper who has shown growth through his first two seasons from another school, I think everybody would be ecstatic. So it's like
over the moon.
Yes. Yeah. It's like, yes, this is a player who was already on the team last year, but it's good for the overall health of the team to have someone like him coming back. And to your point, Joey, about Trimble, the player, I mean, there's no one who has said or will say a bad word about him. And I think the initial reaction from the fan base was partly because of that. It was a really good kid who also seemed to be ascending, and you never like to lose those. It was very similar. I hate to invoke this name. It was very similar to when Walker Kessler decided to leave, because it seems like a really good kid who you could see his game ascending, and then he left. And so I think Carolina fans will be pretty excited by this news just because of the fact that you're going to get to watch him now for a third year. And, you know, that's not promised anymore. Getting guys to stay for 3 years is going to be more and more uncommon moving forward.
Yeah, for all the fans who bellyache and hate this new era of college basketball, I mean, this should be amazing news to their ears to be able to hear about a player that has matured so much in 2 years, having another chance to continue to do so for the team that you actively root for. And no, Sherrill, say that Seth Trimble is going to become Walker Kessler next year. That is not what he said, for those of you who immediately try to tie two things together. Sean, what you got, man?
I think my final thought is around consistency. And when the news came out that he was entering the portal, it was disappointing. One, just looking at Hubert Davis's first recruiting class and thinking that, hey, there's only one guy left in Jalen Washington from that. Everybody else is transferred out. But with him back, one, for this season, I think in my mind, once again, this everybody has a different thought, but if you can have a team where you're just using the transfer portal to bring in a few new pieces versus every year just trying to refresh. I think just to me, that's the most ideal, you know, each year of having that type of scenario. But I hate to do this in terms of even looking out a year, because you never know what can happen, who's going to be back, what people's goals are. But even if you were to project a year out, you have Trimble 3 years in. I think that is, once again, what we all have know college basketball to be about, and what I think we know college basketball has changed, but to still be able to have some of those guys that you bring in as freshmen and being able to see them continue to improve, as we saw with Armando and RJ. But I think just having that stability is huge, knowing RJ is going to be gone. You have guys like Ian Jackson and even Cadeau that have those NBA aspirations. So I know Trimble does as well, but I think being able to have that constant cog will hopefully pay dividends, you know, for a while.
And let's be honest, I'm going to go ahead and say that Seth Trimble was probably really focused on efficiency and went to Congruity.hr/Tar Heels and found out that, hey, I can be really efficient in Hubert Davis offense next year. I don't need to go somewhere else. We hope you'll do the same. We appreciate Congruity sponsoring this podcast. Also, shout out to Johnny T-Shirt. I'm sure thinking about the amazing selection in Chapel Hill and giving that up and maybe not having that access for his wardrobe was probably a key factor in Seth returning to Chapel Hill, and specifically East Franklin Street, to Johnny T-Shirt. So we appreciate Johnny T and Congruity sponsoring us. That'll be it for this episode. Emergency edition, Seth Trimble coming back, or really not really ever leaving. Put his name in the portal, but didn't actually go into the portal and, you know, be beamed to other parts unknown. He's just going to be in Chapel Hill again. And I think IC subscribers and fans and people listening to this show will really appreciate that. Sherelle, Sean, I appreciate you guys making time for this here emergency pod. We will talk to you very soon. I'm Joey Powell for the Coast to Coast podcast here on InsideCarolina.com.
The wait is over. The Chi returns with new episodes on Paramount Plus.
What brings you to the show?
Opportunity.
Everybody get down!
Walk right up to the side.
A new rain is coming to the South Side.
Never should have sent a boy to do a woman's job.
The Chi. New episodes May 10th. Visit ParamountPlus.com/The Chi to get a 50% discount off the Paramount Plus with Showtime annual plan. Offer ends July 14th. Subscription auto renews. Restrictions apply.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
Citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe.
I'm a survivor.
I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.